Happy Sabbath, everyone.
Happy Sabbath.
Today's scripture reading is Isaiah chapter 48, verses 12 through 16. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he, I am the first, I also am the last. My hand hath laid the foundation of the earth, and the right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. All ye, assemble yourselves and hear. Which among them hath declared these things? The Lord hath loved him. He will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. I, even I, have spoken. Yea, I have called him. I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I, and now the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me.
Good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. Father and our God, we are opening your word now. Without the Holy Spirit, God among us, we cannot understand this word the way we ought. Otherwise, it would just be like another literature book. But this is the book of books, the book without rival, your Holy Bible. And as we open its sacred pages now, we ask for your enlightening of our minds, that we might understand the things we read, the things we preach, the things we speak of, and our hearts may be settled on following you and obeying you. Jesus, thank you for all that you have done for us this year. You have brought us very close now to the end of another year, and we praise you, we thank you, and we glorify you. Be with us now as we enter your sacred word. May every worshiper be blessed today. May every listener be blessed by your word. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Listen to me. Listen to me. The King James Version that was read for us, it said, hearken. Yes, that's the same old English word which means listen. And here in Isaiah chapter 48, beginning in verse 12, the word of God is clear to us. Isaiah 48 verse 12 says, listen to me, O Jacob. Listen to me. And Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I am also the last. Isn't that what we also read in the book of Revelation? I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Alpha, first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega, last letter of the Greek alphabet. In other words, Jesus is telling us, I am your all in all. Amen? I am all you need. And when we have Jesus, we have all. Amen? Yes, to have Jesus is to have everything, because Christ satisfies. And here he said in his word, listen to me, O Jacob. And you know, Jacob was his name, his original name. And it was the name for the old nature. Like every one of us, we have an old nature of sin that always wants to rise up against God. So God is saying today, listen to me, O Jacob. And then he calls us by our new name, and Israel, my called. And so here is a transformation taking place right before our eyes in this verse. God is moving us from being Jacob, the deceiver, the supplanter, the sinner. And God is moving us to where he's calling us, Israel, prince with God and prince with men, an overcomer. And that is what God wants us to be. So he says, listen to me, O Jacob, and Israel, my called. And a text that you know very well, what does it say? Many are called, but few are chosen. Many have been called, but few have chosen to answer that call. As a matter of fact, all are called, but some have chosen to answer that call. And in these times, many are cold and a few have been frozen. But we don't want to be in that category, amen? We want to be called and chosen, not cold and frozen. We want to be for Jesus Christ. And the truth is, this is a time when we need to be on fire for God, amen? If not now, then when? And if not us, then who? Who should be on fire for the Lord? And so God says, listen to me, O Jacob, and Israel, my called. God has called each of us to be at peace with him. God has called each of us to his loving salvation. God has called each of us to transition from this mere temporal life to the eternal life that he has in store for us. What is your answer to Jesus today? Listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. Amen. And the one who met Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. What name did he tell Moses to tell the people that who I sent you? I am. It's the same one here. I am he, the first, and I am the last. I am he. I am the first. I am also the last. God should be our everything. Amen. We should put God first. We should put God center, and we should put God last in every decision we make. God needs to be first, center, and last. He needs to have the last word. He needs to have the first place. He needs to have the preeminent place in our lives. God deserves it. Doesn't he? Yes, he sure does. He says, I am he. I am the first. I am also the last. And then verse 13, he says, indeed, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth. Now, I want to ask a question. Who was here when the foundation of this building facility was laid? Let me see the hand if we have a witness. Who was there when the foundation was laid? This building in which we are present today. When this church building was being built, who was present when the foundation was being laid? All right, praise God, we have a witness. We have a witness, amen. And when the foundation was laid, you know, the architects and those who drew the plan and the planners, they had careful details as to what they wanted to do, amen. Yes, and they broke the ground and they went forward with this plan. They had to lay a foundation. Otherwise, this nice building might collapse on us. Yes, they had to lay a good foundation and build it properly. And it's going for decades now and it's still standing and it's still looking good. Well, like they lay the foundations for this building, God says, I indeed, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth. And how big is this earth? It's pretty big. What is it they say what is the diameter of this earth? Anyone here studied up on that thing? 8,000 miles. Man, you know, I drove across the United States twice, East Coast to West Coast. And it's not 8,000 miles. It's not 8,000. You maybe get 2,100, 2,200 miles, something like that. Yeah, but, you know, I took a flight from JFK to Johannesburg, South Africa. And, man, that was nearly 15 hours of flying nonstop. I slept and I woke and I was still flying. Yep. People went to work and came home and I was still flying. And that's just a part of the earth, you know. That's just a part. This earth is big. And God is saying, indeed, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth. What is the earth sitting on? Huh? It's hanging in space. Well, I want to tell you, God is so powerful that by his word, he's keeping this earth in its orbit, keeping it in place. God's word is powerful. Amen. And today we are immersing in God's word where God is calling us and he's saying to us, listen to me, hearken, obey, follow me, hear me. And he says, here's a reason why you should listen to me. I lay the foundation of this earth on which you live. You live on this earth, don't you? Well, God is saying, I lay the foundation of this earth and that's good reason for you to listen to me. Amen. I want to follow this God who made the heavens and the earth. He is the creator God, and that's how he is distinguished from everything else and everyone else who is called God or a God. This is the Almighty God, and he says, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has stretched out the heavens. How many of you can stretch out the heavens? How many of you can lay the foundations for this world? I tell you, the United States is the greatest nation on earth. And not all the forces of the United States can lay the foundation for this world. Not all the forces of the United States can stretch out the heavens. Amen? There's a limitation to what man can do. But God is the Almighty. And he says, I lay the foundation of this earth, and I stretch out the expanse of the heavens. My hand has done this. And then he says, when I call to them, they stand up together. And when God was making a covenant with Israel, one of the things he said in Deuteronomy, I call heaven and earth to be witnesses that we've made this covenant today. It's funny how the heavens answer to God's call. The earth answers to God's call. But we humans being, we can be delinquent. We put off God's call until another convenient time. We shouldn't wait until it's convenient to serve God. Amen? We should serve God here and now because God deserves to be served. As a matter of fact, if we are not serving God, we are serving God's enemy. Because God's enemy desires to be served, but God alone deserves to be served. Amen? He who made the earth, he who laid the foundations of the earth, he who stretched out the heavens, he who, when he calls, the heaven and the earth answer him. He's the one that is worth our worship. Amen? He's worthy of our worship. Look at verse 14. God says, all of you, assemble yourselves together and hear. The second time in the portion we're reading this call to listen, to obey, to hear. He says, as you assemble, all of you, assemble yourselves together and hear. Hear what I have to say. And then God raises this question. Who among them has declared these things? The laws that keep the earth, the laws that keep the heavens in place. Who has declared these things? God is asking. Then the Lord says, and this is beautiful, and that's his covenant name, Yahweh, by the way. The Lord loves him. Amen? The Lord loves him. He shall do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be against the Chaldeans. Another way of saying the Babylonians. You know, the Babylonians were the ones who captured the city of God, Jerusalem. And so they had taken God's church captive. Well, it was, let me say it properly. They had taken God's rebellious church captive. Because as long as we're in a covenant saving relationship with Jesus Christ, he will not allow us to go off in captivity. But when we rebel against God, then comes our captivity. You see, Satan has no friends. And he will do everything to woo us and to lure us away from God. But once he gets power over us, he makes us his slaves. Satan uses, Satan abuses, and then Satan refuses. He has no friends. But God loves us. And he says he was going to carry out, he was going to do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm was going to be against the Chaldeans. I don't want God's arms to be against me. Man, those arms are powerful. They lay the foundations of this world. Those arms are powerful. They stretched out the heavens and hang the stars and the different worlds and planets in place. I don't want those hands to be against me. I want those hands to be for me. Amen? And God is always for us. But it's our choice whether we are going to be with God or for God. Amen? If we make God our enemies, then we will find him as our enemy. But if we make God our friend, we'll find him as our friend. If we make him our God, we'll find him as a loving ruler over us. Yes, and so he says, he's going to stretch out his hand against Babylon, against the Chaldeans. In verse 15, God says, I, even I, have spoken. Yes, I have called him. I have called Jacob to be Israel. I have called him. I have brought him. And his way will prosper. Now, here is a formula. If you want to prosper, obey God. If you want to prosper, listen to God. There are some false preachers out there today who are preaching a prosperity gospel, but it is a do as you please message they are bringing. The message that God has raised us up to preach is to be in a covenant saving relationship with him. Amen. And so he says, I have caused his way to prosper. Verse 16, God says, come near. An invitation. Come near to me and hear. Once again, here is that word, to listen, to hear. God says, come near to me, hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. Amen? As a matter of fact, in the beginning, as we read Genesis, we see that God would come down in the cool of the day and he would have open conversation with Adam and with Eve. And we don't know, that might have gone on for 100 years. We don't know how old they were when they sinned. We know it was before they were 130, because that's when they had Seth. Adam and Eve were 130 years old when they had Seth. So we know it's sometime before that. Could have been when they were 100. We don't know. Could have been when they were 110. Could have been when they were 90 they sinned. We don't know. But for years they were in that Garden of Eden. It was their home. And God would come down in the cool of the day and he would talk with them. But then after they sinned and God came down, man, they were hiding. They did not want to talk with God. And today the reason human beings don't want to talk with God is because we love our sins. We want to hang on to our sins. So we don't go to church. We don't want any preacher. We don't want any Bible teacher to tell us anything, because it will arouse our conscience and let us know we're doing wrong. That's why people will not come to church, you know. They will be convicted. And so people want to stay away so our conscience is not called to accountability. But though we may run for 100 years, a day is coming when all must give account to the Almighty. It's no use running away. As far as we run, we will find that we are running nearer to the throne of God, because we must bow before his throne someday. Isn't that what David tried? He said, man, if I put on the wings of the morning and fly and take my home in the farthest place, God is there. We cannot escape this reality. Amen? We just read that God laid the foundations of the earth. He stretched out the expanse of the heavens. God hand did it. That means his presence in every iota of his creation. We cannot escape the presence of God. As a matter of fact, we shouldn't want to escape the presence of God. Amen? God loves us. And there's no one else in this entire universe who can love us the way God does. Yes, I tell you, Jim and Sharon are in love. And they've been in love for many years. But I tell you, Sharon, Jim can't love you like God does. I tell you, Jim, Sharon can't love you like God does. Amen? Yes, my wife loves me and I love my wife. But I tell you, we are no competitor for God. You know, even though Martin Luther, the great father of the Protestant Reformation, he said that his love for Catherine rivals his love for God, you know. Yeah, that's once a priest who became married later on, you know. Yeah, he was a priest, so he was unmarried for a while there. But then he found his Catherine, you know. Yeah, and he says his love for Catherine rivals his love for God. But no one can love us the way God does. As a matter of fact, the greatest demonstration of love in the history of the universe is Christ's sacrifice upon Calvary. Amen? Amen. Not too many are convinced. But it is true. It is true. Yes. What Jesus did at Calvary for us, it bespeaks God's love for humanity. And so Jesus says, God says, come near to me. Hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, I was there. So all these evolutionary unbelieving scientists come up with all these theories about how long this earth has been around. I look at them and I laugh in my mind. I know that God's word is true. I know that God's word cannot lie. And human beings, we are just about 6,000 years old. Amen? Amen. Just about 6,000 years old. As a matter of fact, one of the latest reports from the scientific community is that the earth is under 50,000 years. So all of a sudden, the scientists are beginning to get wise. They should just come with the Bible and say the earth is about 6,000 years. Why the fuss? That's what scripture teaches. And this is one of the earliest recording in the history of mankind is the Bible. Yeah. It was passed down with oral tradition for a while until Moses began to write. God called him up to write down the creation story. And by the way, you know, Moses was not there at creation story. Amen? It was more than 2,000 years after creation that Moses came on the scene. But yet he wrote it like he was there. Because that's what inspiration does. Sometimes you'll come to church and you'll hear a sermon and you think somebody was secretly talking with the pastor. No. Nobody was secretly talking with the pastor. God's word is speaking to you. God knows everything you do. And he's calling you to accountability that now you need to make wrongs right and now you need to be in that covenant saving relationship with himself. So don't blame the preacher, but surrender to God. Amen. Yes, if you should hear something that wake up your conscience, don't blame the speaker. I'm only here speaking on behalf of God. And I hope I'm doing it right, prayerfully, you know, cautiously, you know, and having the Holy Spirit leading out. Man, when I really think about who God is, why wouldn't we want to serve God? I sit down sometimes and ponder myself. I say, man, God is great. And in reality, you know that God does not need us. Have you thought about it? The world is just about 6,000 years old. And human beings were made on the sixth day of the existence of this world. Well, if you don't believe me, the fourth commandment, what does it say in Exodus 20, verse 8 through to 11? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy male servant, nor thy female servant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. For in 6 days... In how many? For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. That's very comprehensive to me. For in 6 days he made the heavens and the earth, the seas and all. And by the way, there are three heavens. I've been over that with you. Genesis 1:15, right? There's the heavens where the birds fly, the open atmosphere. Genesis 1 verse 20. There's the heavens where the sun, moon, and stars are. Those are the ones that he made in 6 days. The third heavens existed long before that. Amen? Yeah, he made the order of angels and those beings before us. And they're up in his heavens. But you know what's amazing, and it blows my mind? God doesn't need a heavens in which to live. God doesn't need an earth in which to live. Man, that's power. You can just live and you don't need anywhere to live. Man, I tell you, that thing blows my mind the more I think about it. So I try to say less because it's holy ground. I have to take off my feet, my shoes from my feet, you know. It's holy grounds. But God is so powerful. And the point I'm driving at, human beings are only about 6,000 years old. From eternity past, God was there. Didn't need us. But out of his love for us, he made us. Amen? Out of his love. And what amazing love that is. Love that would take a risk, knowing that Adam and Eve would sin. What a risk. What a risk. The average ones inside here, we would not do it if we knew that we were going to make some beings and they were going to sin like Adam and Eve. The average person inside here would not do it. But that's because we are humans. And that separates us from God. He still did it. Amen? And in his great plan of redemption, he's redeeming us from Adam's disgraceful fall. What a God. He's amazing. He's amazing. And here he's calling us to come near to me. Hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was. From the time there was a beginning. God says, I was there. In Genesis 1 verse 1. Isn't that what the Bible says? In the beginning, God. God was there. As a matter of fact, God is the beginner of beginnings. In the beginning, God. From the time that it was, I was there. And then Isaiah says, and now The Lord God, his covenant name, and his spirit have sent me. That's what the prophet says. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Who is the Holy One of Israel? Jesus. How do you know that? How do you know? It says, thus says the Lord, and that's his covenant name, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Well, let's go look at one of Peter's sermons and see who is the Holy One. In Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 3, Peter was preaching. And in verse 14, let's see what Peter says. I'll read verse 13 too for good measure. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Verse 14. But you denied who? The Holy One. You denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. Jesus is the Holy One of Israel. So I like to tell folks, Jesus had no beginning. By the way, it is one of the doctrines of Babylon that Jesus had a beginning. From eternity past, Jesus was always there. What happened 2,000 years ago is the mystery of godliness was revealed to us. Paul says in 1 Timothy 3:16, he says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. So 2,000 years ago, God became flesh, and it's the mystery of godliness. It is not something that the ordinary human senses can comprehend. Logics cannot explain it, and reason cannot understand it. We just accept it by faith. How could God become a human being? And that's why so many religions today don't accept the Christ for who he is, the anointed, the Messiah, for who he is, because many has mistaken his identity. Islam says he's a prophet, Isa. The Jews say he's an imposter. And many within Christianity say he was just a good leader. Jehovah's Witnesses say he's not God. And Unitarian and Arianism saying there's one being. But here we are told, the Holy One of Israel, thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer. He's Lord Yahweh. He's your Redeemer. He's the Holy One of Israel. And we see in Acts where Peter applied it under inspiration. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said Jesus is the Holy One. The same one from Old Testament times that was manifested in flesh is Jesus Christ. The Holy One of Israel, the just one. And so he says, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Jesus was doing all this in Old Testament times. He wasn't called Jesus then, because Jesus means Savior. And Yeshua, the same word for Jesus, the same word as Joshua, the exact same term. He would come to save us. And you remember what Matthew 1 verse 21 says? And you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save you from your sin. Savior from sin, Jesus Christ. And of course, Matthew 1 23 say, you shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted as God with us. It's right there. And the world, especially in the West, is celebrating Christmas. I don't celebrate Christmas. I know December 25 is not Jesus' birthday. But I still enjoy the season. Yes, I enjoy the season. I know December 25th is not Jesus' birthday. I know that of a certainty. I know that. But as the world celebrates, let's educate the world in the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Yeah, Jesus wasn't born in winter. I did a study with children at the Vestal Hills Church and let them come to their own conclusion. We studied what was happening in the shepherds out watching their flock in the night watch and all that stuff, and men traveling from further east. Yeah? Not on a cold winter's night. No. No. And upstate New Yorkers, you know what cold winter nights are like. You're not going to be out watching those flocks by night. You're going to bring those flocks in a barn or something. Maybe even crank some heat up and get some heat going. Amen? Yeah, Jesus wasn't born December 25th. And so we know that. But still, he was born. Amen? That's the important thing. And I think God in his wisdom hid that day, hid Christ's birthday from us. I mean, look at what we do with December 25th, thinking it is his birthday. As a matter of fact, you know, Christ is nearly forgotten during this time. People are focused on what gift I'm going to get. Yes? Imagine if we really knew his birthday. And yet God give us a weekly celebration, the Sabbath. We don't want that. We don't want that. But yet we go all out for Christmas. We should go all out for the Sabbath each week. Amen? If we put the same intensity in Sabbath keeping that we put in preparing for Christmas, oh, what a world this will be. And then you'll see some Sabbath keeping. Amen? Yes, we should do that. We should do that. So here in verse 17, thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Amen? Oh, that you had heeded, there goes the word again, to obey, to hearken, to listen, to hear. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments. What would happen if we heed God's commandments? Then your peace would have been like a river. Isn't that beautiful? If you heed God's commandment, God says, then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. You want peace like a river? Then heed God's commandments. Psalm 119, verse 165. Who found it? Read it if you found it. Psalm 119, verse 165. If you want the peace of God, how is it described there? Anyone found it? Ah, please read. Man, that's beautiful. So even with the federal tax hikes, it's not going to offend you. It said, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The newer version says, nothing shall cause them to stumble. Great peace have they that love God's law. Nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall cause them to stumble. God says, oh, that you had heeded, listen to me. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river. And I drove by, what's the river around here called? The Susquehanna? Chemung, but I saw the Susquehanna too. I'm coming from all the way in Binghamton side, so I got to see many rivers, and man, they are swollen at this time. And I see they're rising, the level, water level is rising. And those rivers, they're running all year round. How long will you have peace if you obey God's commandments? If you listen to him? He says you will have peace like a river. The river doesn't stop flowing. So you'll always have peace if you heed God's commandments. So then if we find ourselves troubled, if we find ourselves worried, we should go check out those Ten Commandments, whether we are heeding them. Amen? Amen. Check the Sabbath, whether we are keeping it. Because you know, we're called Seventh-day Adventists. Seventh-day meaning we're observers of the Sabbath. I also want to say it means also we believe in the 7 days creation, you know. But particularly the seventh-day Sabbath, and we believe in the soon advent of Christ, the soon coming of Christ. But do we really keep the Sabbath holy? What are our conversations like on Sabbath? What do we talk about on Sabbath? What do we do on Sabbath? There are some people that work so hard in the week, they don't rest. They sleep out God's Sabbath. Holy time. We should spend the same hours sleeping on Sabbath on Friday night. But Sabbath afternoon, we should spend time in the Word, spend time going in a nursing home, spend time in Bible studies, spend time going in the prisons, spend time going in the hospitals, ministry time. Most of Christ's healing was on the Sabbath. But what we come to church and we make sure we get here at 11 o'clock when the preacher is going to preach. And we slip out real quickly and we're gone and we say we're keeping the Sabbath. No, God is saying we should listen to Him. And we should keep the Sabbath on God's terms, not ours. Amen? Yes. God says, listen to me. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants also would have been like the sand, and the offspring of your body like the grains of sand. His name would not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. Look at verse 20. And you can compare that with Revelation chapter 18, the portion from verses 1 through to 5. Isaiah 48:20 says, go forth from Babylon. Revelation 18 says, come out of Babylon. Same thing. This was the literal Babylon that God is saying, go forth from Babylon. Revelation 18 is calling us from spiritual Babylon. And of course, you know by now, spiritual Babylon are the nominal churches. It's religious organization that have drifted away from God. And you know, Babylon has some key doctrines. And any person or any organization that holds to any number of these doctrines are Babylon. And we've been over it before, so I see some of you looking at me wide-eyed. We've been over it, but it's good to have a reminder, amen? Number one, Babylon teaches the natural immortality of the soul. Babylon teaches that the dead is not dead. Any person or any organization that teaches that is Babylon. Babylon teaches Sunday sacredness. That Sunday is God's Sabbath instead of Saturday. Any group or any person that holds to that teaching is in Babylon, is a part of Babylon. God is saying to come out. Any group that teaches that Jesus Christ has a beginning or that Christ was created is Babylon. Christ is the eternal God. So that's another Babylon. Any group or person that holds to the teaching that there is an eternally burning hell, that person or that institution is Babylon. And people need to come out of Babylon. Any of these spiritualistic ideas of modern spiritualism, they are all Babylon. God is saying His people must come out. Babylon was once fallen. Do you know when the first fall of Babylon came, the spiritual Babylon I'm talking now? You know, there was imperial Babylon in the time of Nimrod, and there was Neo-Babylon in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Those two Babylons. Did you know that there are two falls for Babylons in the New Testament too? So, imperial Babylon fell, Neo-Babylon fell. Well, I want to let you know that when God sent the great awakening leading up to 1844, and the churches that rejected that message, did you know that that was the first fall of Babylon? God sends waves of awakening. And the Advent movement was on the very end of the second great revival in the United States of America. If you know the history, that was the second wave of revival. Well, this one final wave is coming. It's going to be the latter rain of the loud cry. And this will be the final call for God's people to come out of Babylon. There'll never be another call after that. After that, the plagues will come hitting. We learn about the hail in that children's story this morning. Yep. The plagues will come hitting after this final call. And God is telling his children, it's time to go forth from Babylon. Flee from the Chaldeans. With a voice of singing, rejoicing that we've come clean out of Babylon. Go forth from Babylon. Flee from the Chaldeans with a voice of singing. Declare, proclaim this, utter it to the end of the earth. Say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. Amen. The Lord has redeemed me from my old carnal sinful nature. The Lord has made me an Israelite of his, an overcomer through the blood of the Lamb. Say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob, and they did not thirst. Amen. And you know that there's a famine coming. Amos tells us about that famine. He says, a famine, not for bread, but for the word of God. A thirst, not for water, but for the hearing of the word of God. And they shall wander from sea to sea, from the north even to the east, seeking the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. And so God is saying, and they did not thirst, God's covenant people. Those who listen to God, God says, and they did not thirst. When he led them through the deserts, he caused the waters to flow from the rock for them. He also split the rock and waters gushed out. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. No peace. No peace for the wicked in verse 22. But yet the peace of the righteous is like a river in verse 18. In which camp are you? On whose side do you take a stand? Are you among the wicked? Or are you among the righteous? If you're among the righteous, then you're called to listen to God. If you're among the righteous, then you're called to heed his commandments. And there are 10. The rich young ruler, as we couple the different instructions in scripture, the rich young ruler, he came to Jesus with that question in Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 16. He said, good master, rabbi, good teacher, what good thing should I do that I may have, that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, if you will enter into life, keep my commandments. The young man said, which ones? Being a Jew, he had the 10 commandments. He had the 613 laws that they identify in the first 5 books of the Bible, books of Moses. Which ones? Is it the 10? Is it the 613? Is it the health laws, the ceremonial laws? Is it the civil law? Which ones? And Jesus went on to list 5 of the 10 commandments, was making it plain that he's speaking of the 10 commandments. The 10 commandments. If you will enter into life, what should you do? Keep my commandments. And God's grace is sufficient. Some will tell you we cannot keep God's commandment. It's true. If we're legalists, we can't keep them. If we try to avoid them, we can't keep them. There are 2 kind of legalists, you know. There's a conservative legalist and there's the liberal legalist. But both are legalists. There's the one who want to do so they can gain heaven. And there's the one who don't want to do but still want to gain heaven. It's 2 sides of legalism. But by God's grace, we can stand in the right place. Amen? By God's grace, we can keep his 10 commandments. By God's grace, we can listen to the voice of God. As we close today, I really like this that was done up for us. The church had spent time right here at Elmira setting this resource. And it's a Bible reading plan, a daily Bible reading guide, how we can get through the Bible in 1 year. And I am encouraging every person at the Elmira Seventh Adventist Church today to take this little piece of card seriously and covenant with God that 4/20/19 you're going to read the Bible through. And I would say start today so you can get ahead. Amen? Start right away so you can get ahead. Read your Bible through. It cannot be. It's an insult to God for us to have the ability to read and we've never read the whole book for ourselves. We need to read the whole book. It's a book of God. We need to find it important. If it was not important, God would not have preserved this truth for us. How many persons here has been through the entire Bible even once? Praise God. That's a good witness. Well, for those of you who haven't, let us do it this year. And let us start today. Don't wait till January 1. Let us start today. Amen? Now, I'm only going to invite those who are covenanting to read through the Bible this year to stand. If you're covenanting with God, I'm inviting you to stand. You're covenanting to read this thing through this year. We have a nice plan. Praise God, and there's a good witness in the house. Those who are planning to read the Bible through. And it's not long. For example, in January 1, Genesis 1 to 3, three chapters, the creation story. It's not bad. And like I said, don't wait till January 1. Start today, December 22nd. You'll be a whole week ahead, amen? And it's true, there are days when you kind of limp a little bit. And then when you get to like Chronicles and So Begat So, oh yeah, it's going to be boring. But I tell you, it's important that it's there. But you're going to get to some names. And that's usually where many people get discouraged. Why do I need to read, you know, that Chad begat Austin and Austin begat So, you know? Yeah, you're going to see it. But stick with it. You'll make it through. So we have many witnesses who are standing, who are covenanting to read through the Bible this year. All right, praise God. And so we'll pray for those who aren't standing at this time and pray that they too will get fired up and we all read. And I guarantee you, the day you start to do this, you're going to experience revival in your life like never before. Something happens to us when we diligently study the Word of God. Amen? Amen. All right, at this time, I'm going to invite all those who are renewing their covenant with God to stand. And we're going to sing the hymn of commitment, Christ is Calling, in hymn number 287. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Amen. Amen. Listen to God. Listen to Him. Just before I pray, I just want to say a big thank you to every member of this church for all your dedication, for all the service to the Lord in the year 2018. As you can see, we have musicians. We have the kitchen crew and staff. We have deacons and deaconesses. I mean, everyone has faithfully done their part for 2018. And if some did not do, we encourage them to step up and make 2019 even be a stronger, more powerful year. Amen? Let's all work together. You know, and the nice thing is, I like food. Amen? And so we are encouraging everyone, be conscientious and help to spread the load. So it's not always only the same set of people that is doing the food all the time for us. Amen? Let us all do our best to bring off our best and let's all make it light and easy. When it comes to the kitchen crew, let more of us volunteer and go inside there to help with the cleanup and the put away. Maybe we are a family and we want everyone to be pulling our weight so we all can make it easier for the other. Amen? Let's all be good givers. God has given us 2018. Let us give tangibly to the cause of God. 2019 is a big year of evangelism. Some major things are going to be happening. We have Bible studies. We have started Spirit of Prophecy class on Sabbath afternoons after fellowship meal. We can spend the time to study God's word. Now is the time to soak it in. And I want to say to you today as a servant of God, as your brother in Christ, and as pastor in this congregation, I want to say to you, let's take the time now to make wrongs right with God. Let's take the time now to study God's word, the Holy Bible. And let's take time to also study those Spirit of Prophecy writings. They will help us to be fitted to pass through the trials ahead and to go home to live with Jesus. So I want to say, none of us has any reason to be lost. We have every reason to be saved. Amen? Jesus is doing our work. Let us walk with Him. Let's pray together. Father and our God, we thank You so much for the year that You have given us, Lord. And as we look at the year in review, You have never failed us, not even one time, Lord. And for this we praise you. Lord, we thank you for all your provisions throughout this year. You gave us life. You gave us health. You gave us the ability to earn or even to collect, Jesus, for those in retirement. What they have earned, they continue to spend. You've given us, Lord, the ability to listen, to communicate, to speak. You've given all our senses, Lord, to us, and they are still intact, and we thank you, Lord. We pray that you will bless every person here today. Bless everyone who listens, Lord. You've said in your word that we should listen to you. Help us then to give due diligence, to be strengthened by your grace, with your spirit, with might in our inner beings, that we'll serve you with the fullness of our hearts. Lord, help us to surrender all today. And as we fellowship, help us to be mindful that this is your holy Sabbath day. May our conversation and our conduct be holy. And may we live for you all the days of our lives. Thank you so much, Lord, for everything. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.